Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the errors. We fighting against each other. It's a love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sin. That's while I'm trying my vision. Seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions. Not playing the victim. Spending my strength to perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turn up for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Indy Morello Dollhouse Radio production of Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We have a few issues tonight to go into. One is going to be Trump. I guess he's going to be a constant theme, Trump. And then we're going to have the issue about religion and then miscellaneous issues. So, yes, so again, good evening, everybody. And as usual, I want to read out, let me mention the song that was just played. That was Black Renaissance by Kimber. And I always like to give the definition of what Renaissance is. I have my dictionary definition here. It says, the activity, spirit, or time of the great revival of art, literature, and learning in Europe, beginning in the 14th century and extending to the 17th century, marking the transition from the medieval to the modern world. I guess we could say that's the, that's the Eurocentric definition of Renaissance. I say it that way, the Eurocentric definition, because what about the African Renaissance? When was that, or when did that take place? And when will it take place again? That's a good question. So as usual, also I like to read out, an opening preamble, so to speak, to the show. It's some words from Frederick Douglass, who was a slave, taught himself to read and write during a time when, by law, black people were disallowed, forbidden, to know how to read or write. Imagine that. I mean, can you get your head around that? I mean, I do, in fact, at times think about that. I do. It's, oh, wow. Anyway, Douglas had written, yes, he had written back in the, what, the mid-1800s, 1840-something, maybe 1850. It says here, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, and degrade them, neither person nor property will be free. Actually, it says here that he said this in 1886. So he had been around for a while, and slavery has been done away with through the Civil War. Let's not get it twisted and think that, well, the people of that time, white folk, just decided to stop owning slaves. No, it took war to end that horrid system. And also, before I go further, I want to read out something else, too, that I always found interesting. I had first read this when I was doing a lot of reading. I was in a certain situation, and basically the only thing I could do was read to keep my mind, well, right, tight, focused, and also continuing to endure and endeavor and getting on and getting by. Anyway, this guy named Thomas Wolfe, I got to reading this guy, Thomas Wolfe, and this comes from a book entitled Can't Go Home Again. I never will forget that book. Interesting book. Anyway, he said here that it's a quote about loneliness. Yes, loneliness. He says here that the whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. I think that's the most profound observation, because all too many people have a fear of being by themselves. Yes, they do. I can even attest to the fact that perhaps, well, not perhaps, but there was a time when I was something like that. I didn't know that until I came to realize that. Excuse me again, I'm still getting over this cold that I had. And it's still cold here in New York as well. Temperature just a week ago was like 55 and 49 and 58 degrees. Now it's dropped down to 20-something. Awful. But anyway, so this kind of weather, you know, it keeps people under the weather with these colds and things coming about. And I guess the other reason how colds come up and people get sick too, I mean, I guess some depression can have something to do with that too, but I'll go into that later. But yes, Thomas Wolfe has said that concerning loneliness. I found that most interesting. And I think people ought to be aware of that and come to recognize that and then think about that. Let me read that part again. He says that the whole conviction of my life now rests upon the belief that loneliness, far from being a rare and curious phenomenon, is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. I know you have some people who would disagree with that, but hey, I mean, to each his own. I mean, there's some truth in what this guy said, because I can certainly attest to that. Matter of fact, so much so that I've come to say this, that even though I may be alone, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm lonely. Or in other words, I can be alone but not lonely. That might sound contradictory, but hey, contradictions do in fact exist. They do indeed. So moving right along still, I want to also mention that today on Facebook, a Facebook friend of mine had mentioned having been in a store, and she had begun to notice that she was being followed, you know, hither and thither, all about the store. She would go down this aisle, and this same person would appear in this aisle. Well, those of you who might have experienced this know how that goes. Anyway, well, she, being observant, she realized this, and she posted that on Facebook. And, well, I too have, well, being black and being in the presence of some white person that just feel they can follow you around and, I mean, observe you, whatever. You know, I've experienced that too. Anyway, I had to respond to that posting by having said this here. I had written out, happened to me on an occasion, but I was stealing and had stolen. Got outside the store and down into the subway and seen the same guy. I went down the subway stairs to the train platform, but ran down to the other end. He came down the stairs at the end of the platform where I would have been. I was alert because he too was in the store as if shopping, but outside the store, he had no bags in his hands. Now, the both of us are on the subway platform, but at different ends. I looked down the platform to look for him and saw him looking down at me. The bastard thought he had me. I took a step back out of his sight. I then flew back up the steps. To shorten this story, I got away. He was a store detective. This happened in my Berlin, Germany days, wherein I was forced to steal to assist my survival. Just saying, at this point in my life, I haven't stolen anything since 1988. That was the year when someone made the mistake and gave me a job, as I knew someone eventually would. Yeah, that happened. This clown, but the thing is, though, I mean, this guy, if he had been really smart, he would have stopped me inside the store, because evidently he seen me stealing. But he decided to wait until I got outside the store, not only outside the store, but walk some distance away from the store and even down to the subway. And I guess he figured that he would, get me on the train. I never understood that, but I didn't stick around to find out. Yeah, it was most interesting. But like I said, I noticed him. Well, first off, I noticed him while he was in the store, but I hadn't known he was following me. But I had seen him a few times, but still hadn't known he was following me because I was busy also doing what I was doing. But anyway, as I said, I noticed him. Matter of fact, when I had come to the subway station area, I seen him there again. And what I noticed instantly was that, hey, I saw that guy in the store walking around, da-da-da-da, and here he is now, but he don't have any bags with him. I thought, oh, something ain't right here. And sure enough, I went down a flight of steps, but instead of standing right there as I normally would have done, I went down to the other end and stood. And then when he came down, I guess he thought I was going to be right there also. But no, I wasn't there. I was way down on the other end. And as I said, I did look down to where he was, but not overtly. I kind of used I did in fact use my peripheral vision, you know, to see if he was down there. And sure enough, he was down there, and he was looking down there at me. Somewhat surreptitiously or sneakily. So at that point, I decided to, you know, step back out of his vision or out of his eyesight. And I don't know what he thought I was doing, but I knew what I was going to do. Once I was out of his eyesight, I flew back up the steps and ran out of the subway station terminal and like up back to the street, and I ran into somebody's hallway. It was awful. But that did in fact happen. But yeah, because see, this guy was following around the store. But like I said, I hadn't realized that until I had gotten outside the store. And my Facebook friend had said that this person was just following her around. She would go in this aisle, and there he was. Go down another aisle, and there he was. She even said that she had skipped two or three aisles. You know, and then again, I guess he too has skipped two or three aisles. And again, there he was. Some Facebook friends had responded to her by saying that she should have reported him. And then again, some had even said that when she had gotten outside, and if he still had come outside, that if he had still come outside, especially with no bags in his hands, that then she should have called the police on him. But yeah, stuff like that happens. Stuff like that happens. Indeed it does. Just outrageous. Just outrageous. And then again, another Facebook friend of mine was telling me how she was in some restaurant somewhere, and also about her car having been parked outside, and some person had parked really, really close to her car. And, you know, she was wanting to know why this had happened. And I guess she knew who car it was because she went back inside of the restaurant and was talking to the person whose car it was, and the person, according to my Facebook friend, called her a nigger. And, you know, I guess some words have passed there, and then eventually, according to what she said, the manager of this place made her leave. Not the person who called her a nigger, but made her leave, just because she had accosted this person about having parked so close to her vehicle. Outrageous. And then some Facebook friend of her of hers has said that white people today, because of Trump, have really become emboldened with that racist nonsense. I guess that's a factor too, but to me, hell, they've always been bold with that bullshit. But in my opinion, that's why we've got to be just as bold. When they want to throw that nonsense on us, hell, we got to throw it right back on them. Case in point, again, during one of my, well, during my stay in Berlin, Germany, I always say that I grew up in New York and Berlin, Germany, because I had a serious awakening. I guess we could say I had a serious renaissance in Berlin, Germany. But anyway, what I want to say about that was, again, in a store, I was shopping, minding my own business, totally really oblivious of anyone else, because anyone else in the store don't concern me. I don't know them. They don't know me. But anyway, some guy, German guy, he noticed me. I didn't know that until he did what he did. And what he did was I was standing at the freezer where the frozen vegetables are. And let me tell you, that ice box was cold, super cold, freezing. And, you know, I was looking for the a frozen vegetable packet. I was even, you know, moving some hither and thither, and I was digging down in there. And, like, when I had gotten one of the frozen vegetable packages up out from the bottom, my hand was cold, too. This clown just going to throw one of those frozen vegetable boxes on my hand. Oh, that shit hurt like hell. I dropped the box I had and, like, began to shake my hand. And, like, as I did that, I looked at him. And he looked at me like, well, like what? Like, okay. Like, in essence, like nothing happened. He looked at me like, really, he's not sorry. He didn't say sorry. Like nothing happened. Anyway, because at this point, I'm conscious of that kind of situation. So I just said, no, well, to myself, in my head, I'm thinking, well, no problem. I'll get him back. So, you know, I walked on, but then again, at this point, as I walked on, he is walking also, but he forgot about me now. But I haven't forgotten about him. So I had gotten in back of him. I had positioned myself in back of him because, again, he's totally oblivious of me now. Anyway, I got in back of him, and he's still there at that freezer where the vegetables are, and now he's digging down in there. I waited until he pulled his hand up, and I just threw one of those frozen boxes back on his hand. And he did the same thing I did. He shook it and looked at me. He looked at me, and I looked at him and just walked off. Just my attitude was just like his attitude, like nothing happened. In other words, like, you know, fuck it, fuck you. Basically, that's what I was saying. That's how my mind went, but I didn't even say that to him. Anyway, I finished my shopping, and then when I got to the checkout, the cash register, to pay for what I have, all of a sudden, he's now in back of me. I didn't know that, not until he leaned forward, like up to my ear, and he has the audacity, the nerve to tell me, you a guest in this country, you know, and in English, not in German, but in English. He's going to tell me, like I said, you a guest in this country, you know. When I heard that, I turned and looked him up and down and told him, shit, you a guest in this country, motherfucker. Honestly, how are you going to come up and say some nonsense like that to me, that I'm a guest in this country? Why? Because I did what I did to him, because he did what he did to me. In other words, I got him back. I paid him back. And now he's what, upset? F-O-H. That's what I said to that. That's why I said to him, you a guest in this country, MF. And I never forget that the way I had looked at him after he leaned forward into my ear talking about, you a guest in this country, I turned around, and I never forget I have seen that Tupac movie entitled Above Above the Rim. That's what it was, Above the Rim. Yeah, I think it was during the part early in the movie when he and his brother are at the grave site visiting their mother's grave, and then Tupac is telling him about how he can come work for him, and that guy said, what, selling that shit? And Tupac, you know, he looked him up and down and kind of stepped back and said, who the fuck you think you're talking to? you know, stuff like that. But the thing is, the way Tupac had looked him up down and stepped back, I had done the same thing, but I hadn't seen that movie as of yet. So therefore, when I seen Tupac look his brother up and down, the character in the movie up and down, and then step back and say, I said, damn, I must be right on time with something, you know, connections. I mean, because I had never seen nobody do that before. But there I was, having had done that, and then now in some movie, I seen someone do the same thing that I had done. I said, wow, that's MFing interesting. Well, anyway, yeah. I mean, being in these stores and then these racist white people, black people, y'all better check these people, because they think they can check us. You better let them know that, hell, we can check them just as well. They can check us if they so feel that they got to check us. We can check them right back. I know I do. But again, I say that like I say that, and I guess I sound like I'm, bragging or bad, something like that. No, that's not me. I'm not like that at all. Primarily because I'm aware that it is like that, I go out actually as less as possible. Why? Because I'm scared? No. It's not that. It's just that, hell, I know that there are a lot of crazy people out there, and I know that, goddammit, I'm crazy too. So therefore, in my opinion, I try to help the situation. Other people don't try to help the situation. They're just out there, you know, starting nonsense. But, however, when I'm out there and some nonsense come my way, hey, got to deal with it. That's just that simple. Got to deal with it. So, okay, moving right along. Okay, I have overtalked the situation because now it's, let me make sure that I got this right. No, it's not time for a break. Yet I thought it was time for a break. Interesting. Yes, that's something else. I thought it was time for a break because the time factor has gone up an hour, as we know. Right? So I guess time is kind of out of whack right now. And I got confused with the time there. Interesting. Very much so. Interesting. Yeah, that's something also. Time has gone up an hour also, for those of you who may not know it, but then again, at this point in time, who don't know that? But I will say again, if not for having been on Facebook today or this morning at the time that I was on it, I probably wouldn't know it as of now that time has gone up an hour. In fact, as I had mentioned in response to that Facebook posting about time having gone up, I had said then that if not for this posting, I probably wouldn't have been aware of time having gone up an hour until I got to work tomorrow. But more so than not, I would have realized the time change when I got into my vehicle. And that's because all of my devices that I have here in my apartment, you know, they all change time as they do, like cell phone, cable hookup, things of that nature. They all change time automatically. The only thing that doesn't change, as time does change, is my in my vehicle. I have to change the time in there manually. So therefore, I would have found it out. I would have found that out tomorrow morning when I got my vehicle. But so yeah, time has gone up an hour. Yes, it has. So we're, I guess, back into daylight saving time, and I kind of like that. I like that it gets dark later than earlier. Because, you know, a lot of stuff to see out there. And besides, like I said, because it being the way it is, I don't really be out there as often as I would be if I was ignorant of the situation. But I'd much rather be out there in daylight as opposed to the darkness, you know. But then again, sometimes, you know, I'd rather be out there in the darkness than in the daylight. Because motherfuckers, they can't see me as well, you know. So still moving right along. This first article that I want to go into, moving on now into the articles that I want to read into. But before I go there, let me give out our caller number here, which is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And call in and let's hear what you have to say. I mean, we could even talk about what I just got off talking about, such as being black and being followed around in a store, and then what is your reaction to something like that? How do you handle something like that? You know, that's a good question. I know some people would. I've even been told that my reaction, or more so because I do react the way that I do react, I've been told that I'm hostile. But I don't own that. No, I disagree with that. No, I'm being aggressed upon, basically. So like, therefore, the hostility is not coming from me. It's coming from that clown that's pushing his or her aggression on me by doing what they do, such as, well, what, follow me around. I tell, man, you better stop. Don't follow me, fella. Like EPMD has said in one of their raps, don't follow me, fella. You can even tell. I've even had to tell some guy that at one point. You know, you better stop following me, man. Anyway, so moving right along, I'm quite sure that we've all heard about that moron who's now our president. Well, he's the president of this country. We've heard about more lies that he has said or spoken, and the most recent one has been all on the news all week, and it happened like last Saturday. The lie that he's propagating about how President Obama tapped his phone. I mean, really. And like, people like to talk about, you know, he's come out and said this like with no evidence whatsoever. I'm like, okay, and? I mean, he said it. And it's obvious that he's lying. He don't know. Nobody has told him this. But yet, here he is. He's just going to come out and say this. But the media, the news agencies, they pick right up on that and then report that. And I just wonder, why do they do that? Why do they do that? Instead of pushing back on what he says, or more so, why even report that anyway? Why even report it anyway? It's just like when this clown, this idiot, was running for the presidency. No matter what he said, they put it on the news and like talked about it for days. No matter how dumb it was, no matter how stupid it was, no matter how idiotic or moronic it was, still, they repeated the bullshit that he said. I'm thinking, why are they doing this? And then now that he's president, they are doing the exact same thing. They ought to really, matter of fact, this guy named Keith Olbermann, he used to be on MSNBC, but he got fired from that job, supposedly because he gave some kind of a monetary contribution to some political person or organization. And I guess per the contract that he signed with MSNBC, I guess that's not allowed. So because he had done that, and then somebody, I guess, found that out and reported on that, MSNBC had to let him go. But he was good. I like watching his show, this guy named Keith Olbermann. Anyway, Keith Olbermann is of the same opinion. Stop reporting what this idiot says. Stop reporting what this moron says, especially if it's idiotic, especially if it's moronic, especially if it don't make no sense, and especially if it's known that, well, no, not known, but if it's one of those situations of, what the hell is he talking about? Where is this coming from? When it's obvious that it's coming from nowhere other than in his head, and what's coming from his head has no, how can I put it, has no objective validity. In other words, it has no connection to reality, basically. It's just a nonsense that comes out of his head. No place else. It's not connected to anything other than what's in his head. Really. Matter of fact, this article here, I don't even want to read that because it's only talking about really what he talked about. That Obama tapped his phone, and the thing is, even about that, you know, and him talking about that like that, based upon what I've heard via the media and through reading articles, it appears that the issue, or the allegation, actually goes into other places or brings up other situations, such as, okay, if his phone was being tapped, there must have been a reason for having tapped his phone. And if there was a reason for having tapped his phone, what was that reason? Because it also began to come out that whomever had tapped his phone, it was, in fact, legal for it to have been done so. And it having been legal to have done so, that means that someone heard something somewhere, that someone had to get a court order from somewhere. And then in having sought that court order, they had enough justification to seek the court order, and then enough, well, not necessarily evidence, but enough circumstantial evidence to get the court order to do what they wanted to do. So in a real sense, there is some there, as the news media likes to say. But there's no there in reference to what Trump said. No, that Obama tapped his phone. But, you know, that's just one of those ploys because, you know, it's been said. Matter of fact, W.E.B. Du Bois has said this a long time ago. W.E.B. Du Bois was a black scholar, I'll put it like that, a black scholar, one of the early black scholars, college educated, had been to Harvard, even studied in Berlin, Germany, he did. Highly educated, W.E.B. Du Bois was. Anyway, he has said way back then that anything at that point in time, we're talking about like what? The late 1800s, the early 1900s, 1910, 1920, 1930. And it's still the same way now. But W. Du Bois has said that like anything can be said or alleged against a black person and is subject to be believed. Regardless of how ridiculous it might be, white people are subject to believe it. Outrageous. But W.E.B. Du Bois has said that a long time ago, damn near 100 years ago, and that nonsense is still true today. Still true today. And the thing is, you know, Trump doesn't care if the majority of the American people believe that. He only cares, basically, that the people who vote for him believe that. And they do. Because he knows that anything can be imputed against a black man and is bound to be believed by racist individuals. Because in a real sense, it's like that, because in some way, such people are prone. They're wired. I'll put it that way, yes, for lack of a better word or term. Their brains are wired to actually believe the worst in a black person. Their brains are actually wired to want to believe the worst. Well, no. There's not even a want in it. They just do believe the worst of a black person. Case in point, them talking about President Obama at that time, Trump and those other people, the birther people, talking about President Obama was born in Kenya. Or if not that, born in Hawaii. But then again, they forget that Hawaii is, what, was the 51st state, something like that, you know. Well, we got 52 states or 50 states, but like anyway, what was it? Hawaii was the 49th state? I can look that up per the internet. But anyway, Hawaii is a part of this country. So if Obama was born that's still a part of the territorial United States. But then again, they didn't want to stop there. They said, no, Kenya. He was born in Kenya. Out MF rages. And people, they believe that. They believe it and still do. Outrageous. But again, like I said, W.E.B. Du Bois has said damn near 100 years ago that anything can be imputed about or against a black person, and by that racist white person, is bound to be believed. Out MF and rages. So, I mean, like I said, I don't really want to even go into reading this article about what Trump said. And how they're talking about, you know, without any evidence. They're talking about that without any evidence, Donald Trump said this. They're like, what, that Donald Trump only lies sometimes? He lies all the time. He's a pathological liar, basically. That's Donald Trump. And then somebody mentioned that, like, what, he's 70 years old? The MF? I say MF. Well, no respect for him. He might be senile. Who knows? Well, no, Ronald Reagan was senile, always sleeping. But that's another issue. So right now it is, in fact, 5 minutes after the hour, and we're going to go into our first song. And this song is from Terrence featuring Colleen, and it's entitled Chin Chin. And we'll be right back.
dough. Uh-huh. Deterrence. Colleen. Here we go. But you're the best thing that a buddy ever seen. Well, you were wrong, everything is so evergreen. But you the truth and this is not a fallacy. You're the only girl I need, this could be your remedy. Cause I'ma strap you to myself like a backpack. And you can have it all, yeah, nobody can stop that. I love your face and your silhouette. When you break it down, you make a nigga want a broken leg. Yeah, all I wanna do is put you high on a pedestal. Give you all of me, I promise I'll never let you go. Tell you how I feel, yeah, I spell every syllable. Over to my place, I can show you everything I know. We can start it slow, sip some wine, watch a movie, yo. Then I take you on, you doing things you never did before. Biting on your lips, I can tell you what in the mood. But this is just the intro, let me show you what I'm into.
Through the weekend, the start of the weekend. You want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give me right a bad boy, right up to the deep end. To the weekend, the start of the weekend. You want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give me right a dive boy, right up to the deep end.
Eyes so pretty, lips so pretty. Shorty, you the real deal and I'm not kidding. Been around the world, seen these girls in the city. But you stuck up in my mind every day, every weekend. Slow me down, girl, why you run to? The more you play, how to get makes me want you. I left this all the girls, I ain't even right, damn. All the shit I did before, that's in the past, damn. I can be the competition, you can be the final prize. Play my game right, and I promise I won't finish last. All the niggas trying, but I'm definitely build a last. And I'ma hold you down like a soldier, hold his fucking vest. Your beauty is divine, I wanna make you mine. I think that this could be our time. The way you make me smile, the way I make you laugh. Hold up, let me look into the mind one more time.
Out of the weekend, you want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give me right a bad boy, right up to the deep end. To the weekend, the start of the weekend. You want my mind 24, you what I'm picking. Baby, crack a bottle every weekend. Give me right a dive boy, right up to the deep end.
To the day and the start of the weekend. You on my mind 24, you what I'm thinking. Chin chin, popping bottles every weekend. You my ride or die chick, right up to the deep end. Start of the weekend, you're on my mind 24, you what I'm thinking. Chin chin, popping bottles every weekend. You're my ride or die, she could press
you
on the deep end.
To the weekend, the start of the weekend. You on my mind 24, you what I'm thinking.
Okay, welcome back to Indy Burrell's Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Terrence featuring Colleen entitled Chin Chin. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and speak your thoughts. Tell me what's on your mind. But one thing I do want to read from this article here that I got is something here that says, this is from the article here, it says, though leaks from the intelligence community have shown that Trump associates, including former campaign chief Paul Manafort, former advisor Carter Page, and former national security advisor Michael Flynn, are included in an investigation into Kremlin activities, it remains unclear what direct evidence of wrongdoing, if any, the agencies have gathered. I found it interesting that when this guy Michael Flynn did in fact resign, that Trump asked for his resignation. And my thinking was, if he did nothing wrong, why is Trump asking for his resignation? That's a sign of guilt right there. Or, well, yes, that's a sign of guilt. And also, that's also a sign of Trump trying to just, what, get rid of an issue, get rid of a problem, get rid of the story. But no, the story is there. And evidently, the story isn't going away because it appears that more and more people are being said to have spoken with the Russians And the thing is, remember, at one point, and then especially for Republicans, the right or far right, they are supposed to be, or at one point were reputed to be, staunchly anti-communist. But all of a sudden, well, the Republicans, especially Trump and his people, they're not anti-communist. And Russia is a communist country, isn't it? What the fuck is going on? But then again, as one of my Facebook friends like to put it, this is life in the Trumpster. It could be just as well life in the dumpster. But she likes to say life in the Trumpster. I can get with that. And then further, in the same article here, it does say that it is not unusual for high-level campaign officials to meet ambassadors, but those meetings are typically with representatives of U.S. allies like Britain and France, and not with those rivals such as Russia. You see, at one point, I mean, this country government was like staunchly anti-communist. Matter of fact, just saying, during the days of the civil rights movement and, black protestation, it was always alleged that these movements were fired by communist subversion or communist, these movements were, you know, again, inspired by Russia. These movements have communist influence. And because of that, the FBI they had to investigate. Because someone had made the charge that, you know, Dr. King even, they had said that he was under communist influence. They had to investigate King, supposedly. Because, again, America is supposed to be anti-communist. But all of a sudden, we got Trump and his team, you know, making deals. Well, not necessarily making deals, but, you know, talking with them. And then denying that they talk. Life in the Trumpster. Life in the Trumpster. And they all be lying. I mean, they all be lying. And now they like to talk about how you know, Bill Clinton was the most vicious liar. Well, but at least Clinton has some intelligence. Or if not intelligence, at least he was, how can I put it? Well, at least he was articulate, unlike Trump, as some other politician had put it. They had said that Trump has an impoverished vocabulary. I fell out when I heard that guy say that. I never heard those two words put together like that. Impoverished. I know what that word means, vocabulary, know what that word means, but to put those words together in reference to someone to say that, and especially now the president, this guy Trump, this politician has said that Trump does have an impoverished vocabulary, which means what? If he has an impoverished vocabulary, he has also, by inference, an impoverished intellect, a serious lack of a vocabulary, a serious lack, therefore, of an intellect. And therefore, a serious lack of understanding. His understanding, therefore, must also be impoverished, which, as we can see, it obviously is. But alas, so many people don't see that. But in reference to that, the last time I was on, I was reading from this article, which was entitled "A Neuroscientist Explains What May Be Wrong with Trump Supporters' Brains." And I want to go back into that article that I was reading from. Well, for those of you who may not have been listening then, but are listening now, this article here says that there's no doubt that Donald Trump has said many things that would have been political suicide for any other Republican candidate. Now, this article, let me also mention that it was written in August 2016. And let me go further to say that. And almost every time he made one of these shocking statements, political analysts on both the left and right predicted that he'd lose supporters because of it. But as we have clearly seen over the past year, they were dead wrong every time. Trump appears to be almost totally bulletproof. Even that, now I'm just saying from something that I remembered, even when he has said that like he can walk down, what was it, Fifth Avenue in New York City, and shoot somebody, or did he say kill somebody? I think he said shoot somebody. I'm going with the lesser evil, okay? I think he said shoot somebody, and he said he'd get away with it. Now, what man, really, what person in their right mind is going to say that, you know, into a microphone? Well, more so, what man in his right mind is going to say that anyway? And especially, well, I was going to say, especially if he has any kind of intelligence, or let me just say, if he has any kind of what? Moral decency about himself. What kind of person who does have moral decency about himself is going to say something like that? In a real sense, because I use the word moral decency, I'll also further say that the only kind of person who will say that is a person who is a moral degenerate, basically. I had to say it like that. Hook it up, right? Connect it. Connect the dots. Anyway, this article goes further to say that the only thing that might be more perplexing than the psychology of Donald Trump is the psychology of his supporters. Check that out. The only thing that might be more perplexing than the psychology of Donald Trump is the psychology of his supporters. In their eyes, Donald Trump can do no wrong. And yes, this article says here, he said that even Trump himself seemed to be astonished by this phenomenon. And then it has in quotes, wherein Trump did say, "I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?" Motherfucker said that shit. Excuse me for saying that like that. But he said that shit, and he said, okay. And then he said, it's like incredible. He said that it's like incredible. Anyway, Senator John McCain, who has been a regular target for Trump during his campaign, has a simple explanation for his unwavering support. What he did was he fired up the crazies. Indeed, he said what he did was he fired up the crazies. He fired up the racists, basically. That's what he did. And they say the crazies. It reminds me of watching the movie JFK. And at some point, Jim Garrison, somebody had made a call to Jim Garrison's house. And Jim Garrison's little daughter answered the phone. And some lewd person, some lunatic was talking to the little girl. I mean, some real dumb stuff. Anyway, the mother finally said, "Who are you talking to?" And then when she got on the phone, she heard this grown man just having finished talking to her little daughter, who was maybe about 4 or 5 years old. And then she said to Jim Garrison, you know, Kevin Costner played the part of Jim Garrison, and she said, "Did you know that somebody was just talking to Elizabeth on the phone?" And she said, you don't know what's going on in this house anymore. She said, she said, you're so busy out making speeches. She said, you know, you're getting every crazed Klansman in Louisiana after us. When I heard that, that cracked me up. She said, you know, you're out there getting every crazed Klansman in Louisiana after us. These racists, indeed, they are crazed. Yes, they are. But again, go back to what I said earlier about what W.B. Du Bois has said. And something that Donald Trump knows, that racist MF. He knows that like anything can be imputed against a black person and white racists will believe it. He knows that. Therefore, that's how he can come out and say that that Obama taps his phone. And you know, the racist, that, you know, I mean, really, you're talking about Obama. Obama don't tap Trump's phone. Really. Anyway, going further into this article here, it says that while the former Republican presidential nominee may be onto something, talking about John McCain, he doesn't exactly provide a very satisfying scientific explanation. So how exactly are Trump loyalists psychologically or neurologically different from everyone else? What is going on in their brains that makes them so blindly devoted? I mean, reading that part right there, you know, I think back to what I had read about the Civil War and things leading up to the Civil War. We have to remember and consider that you had a whole section of white people in this country who actually fought in the Civil War, who actually to preserve the system of slavery, who actually fought to keep black people as slaves. But at the same time, they want to believe that they're not fighting for slavery. At the same time, they want to believe that they're fighting for something that they call states' rights. But then again, when you ask them, okay, you say you're fighting for states' rights, but what is this right of the state that you want to preserve? outrageous. You see, I mean, thinking logically, I mean, logic dictates that the truth must come out. And you got those people who can't stand the truth, so they'd rather avoid the truth. And as one of my Facebook friends has said today, when you talk to people like that, that's when they can't respond to your logic and or respond to your question in an intelligent fashion. They rather just tell you, fuck you, get out my face, and get violent. But then again, Socrates has said that a long time ago, too, concerning someone who is being reasonable to someone who refuses to be reasonable. They have the tendency to resort to hostility. So moving right along with this article here, it says here that, let's see here, it says here that the Dunning/Kruger effect, that's what they're calling this. I guess these are the two guys who did this study. They say that, it says, one, some believe that many of those who support Donald Trump do so because of ignorance. Basically, they are under informed or misinformed about issues at hand. Well, you can say that, but that's not necessarily true because they are informed in their own way. In a real sense, they are informed by and or with a racist ideology. So they are in fact informed in that way. So they are informed, although in a real sense misinformed. But per their racist dictates, they are totally informed. This article goes on to say, when Trump tells them that crime is skyrocketing in the United States or that the economy is the worst it's ever been, they simply take his word for it. And why would they do that? Basically because, well, in their minds, it has to be like that because they had a black man in the presidency for the last 8 years. It can't be any good because black people aren't any good. See? That's their logic. That's their logic. Anyway, it says the seemingly obvious solution would be to try to reach those people through political ads, expert opinions, and logical arguments that educate with facts. Except none of those things seem to be swaying any Trump supporters from his side, despite great efforts to deliver this information to them directly. Again, it goes back to what I said, because they are informed in a different way. Because think about it like this. I'll put it this way, okay? You had, historically speaking now, you had those whites in this country who knew that slavery was wrong and wanted to do something about it. But at the same time, you had those whites in this country who seen nothing wrong with slavery, nothing at all, nothing. And they wondered about those people who thought, let me say it correctly, those people who felt slavery was wrong. They wondered what the hell is wrong with them. I mean, really. But at the same time, the people who knew that slavery was wrong, they were thinking that they can convince these people of their side of the argument. But no. That's where they were wrong. Because those other people were convinced in the marrow of their bone that what they know is what they know because it's correct to know. And then they might even want to bring the Bible on their side. Oh, it's anyway, moving right along. Let me just go on to number two. It says something here about hypersensitivity to threat. And it says here that science has unequivocally shown that the conservative brain has an exaggerated fear response when faced with stimuli that may be perceived as threatening. And the thing is, what stimuli might that be? In their brain, they're talking about the conservative brain. Conservative brain, the racist brain, their fear is of black people. I got an article that I'm going to read to later on, like that brings into the issue of religion that I spoke about. But anyway, moving right along with this article here. But before we do that, it's now 25 after the hour. We're going to go into a music break. And our next song here is going to be Cole. Let me get this this title right. It's from J. Cole, entitled False Prophets Be Like This. So this is J. Cole and False Prophets, and we'll be right back.
Somebody should have told me it would be like this, be like this, be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah. Life is a balance. You lose your grip, you can slip into an abyss. No doubt, you see these niggas tripping. Ego in charge of every move, he's a star. And we can't look away due to the days that he caught our hearts. He's falling apart, but we deny it. Justifying a half-assed shitty drop, we always buy it. When he tell us he a genius, but it's clearer lately. It's been hard for him to look into the mirror lately. There was a time when this nigga was my hero, maybe. That's the reason why his fall from grace is hard to take. Cause I believed him when he said his shit was pure, ain't he? The type of nigga swear he real, but all around him's fake. The women, the dick riders, you know the yes men. Nobody with the balls to say something to contest them. So he grows out of control until the person that he truly was all along is starting to show. Damn, wonder what happened. Maybe it's my fault for idolizing niggas based off the words they be rapping. When come to find out, these niggas don't even write they shit. Hit some new style bubbling up, then they bite this shit. Damn, that's what I get for lying to myself. Well, fuck it. What's more important is he's crying out for help. While the world's egging him on, I'm begging him to stop it. Playing his old shit, knowing he won't top it. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, false. I got a homie, he a rapper and he wanna win bad. He wants the fame, the acclaim, the respect that's been had by all the legends. So every time I see him, he's stressing. Talking about niggas, don't fuck with him. This shit is depressing. And I know he's so bitter, he can't see his own blessings. Goddamn, nigga. You too blind to see you got fans, nigga. And a platform to make a classic rap song to change a nigga's life. But you too anxious living life. Always worry about the critics who ain't never fucking did it. I write what's in my heart, don't give a fuck who fucking with it. But in a sense, I can relate. The need to be great turns into an obsession and keeps a nigga up late. Writing words, hoping people observe the dedication that stirs in you constantly. But intentions get blurred. Do I do it for the love of the music or is there more to me? Do I want these niggas to worship me? False prophets. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Yeah, false prophet. These rappers insecure. They talk about being a man so much I finally understand that they ain't even sure about who they are and why they do this. Guess I'm included in that category as a nigga who done had the glory. My highest moments come from telling all the saddest stories I've seen in my life. I be fiending the right songs that raise a hair on my arms. My lowest moments came from trying too hard to impress some niggas that couldn't care for more. Therefore, from here on out, my hair grow out. I care nothing about opinions. I wanna give hope like the fountains you throw pennies in. Hit the store, take your dip, make your wish. This is dedicated to the ones that listen to me on some faithful shit. I'm on some thankful shit. But the real God is in you, not the music you copping. I hear my old shit and know I can top it. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. False prophet. Somebody should have told me it would be like this. Be like this. Be like this. Somebody should have told me it would be like this.
He said it. You heard him, my man. Fire. Fire. We good, bro. Yo, thank you, man.
Okay, welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from J. Cole entitled False Prophets, in parenthesis, Be Like This. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Give us a call. State your opinions. Okay. I don't want to go into this whole article here because it's speaking some psychological terms and things of that nature. But it has spoken about the the hypersensitivity to threat. Then they have another thing in paragraph 3, terror management theory. And there they talk about the theory is based on the fact that humans have a unique awareness of their own mortality. The inevitability of one's death creates existential terror and anxiety that is always residing below the surface. I mean, people got to get over that. I mean, death is a part of life. But just saying, having read that, that brings back to mind something that, who is that woman? She had written a book, not Dr. Joyce DeGruy, but that other woman, the one who liked to talk about symbols and talk about, you know, the phallic symbol is really prevalent in American culture, if not European culture per se. Who is that woman? And the thing is, she died recently, I think in the latter part of 2016. I can't believe I can't remember her name right now. But anyway, she would always like to use the phrase speaking about whites and then the way they are in their heads and why they are the way they are, races as they are, is because they feared white genetic annihilation. Just by using that phrase, to some of you who are listening, you will probably pick up on who that woman, what her name was instantly. Because she liked to use that phrase, white genetic annihilation. But anyway, also this article has other terms such as high attention engagement, things like that. But anyway, moving right along. Excuse me. Going now to some of my Facebook postings. I think I may have written this in response to Trump and listening to stuff that he says and like his supporters. I have said that a major difference between the sane and insane is the sane understand that there is an element of insanity within them. The insane, not having a clue about their insanity, choose to vigorously defend their sanity against all reasoning to the contrary. Having stated this, I suggest that you all contemplate the races that you know to be racist, as well as those whom you consider to be racist, including our current president and all his staff. One of my Facebook friends has said, I'm with you. I'm with you, James. Sorry I was ever skeptical. What do they say about the devil convincing man that he doesn't exist? I couldn't respond to that one because I'm not really religious, and not being religious, I definitely don't believe in the devil either. Because I always say it this way. Concerning God, if God is all powerful, how can the devil and or Satan have any power? And to go further, I even say that if Satan or the devil has any power, that is power that God gave him, it, or whatever the devil is. So what kind of game is this? You know, that's our reason like that. And I think it's highly logical, thinking like that. Excuse me again. And then I had also written something here. This was in reference to a clip I had seen on CNN, on Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is another racist. However, he has toned down his racism in the recent year, I would say. And I had written this here. I said that this is in line with what I've come to understand concerning racism and mental illness. All races are mentally ill, but not all mentally ill persons are racist. Trump is more mentally ill than racist, but he's certainly racist and mentally ill. I read an article via Facebook that a psychologist thinks, as I thought, and still think about Trump. He's a malignant narcissist. Malignant narcissism, given the definition here. It says malignant narcissism is a psychological syndrome comprising an extreme mix of narcissism, antisocial personality disorder, aggression, and sadism, often grandiose and always ready to raise hostility levels. The malignant narcissist undermines organizations in which they are involved and dehumanizes the people with whom they associate. Only as recent as July 2016, and then I wrote this, because of a situation. Primarily, that I'm saying this now. This is something that is still affecting me, and I'm trying to deal with it in the best way that I can. But to read what I had written here, I had said that only as recent as July 2016 did this word come to my attention, and it was because of a work-related incident involving a coworker who is of the opposite sex. I refuse to call her a woman. She's a malignant narcissist. Then I wrote, watching the election campaigning of 2016, Trump in particular, I saw the same attitude and or mindset with Trump and the reaction he was getting from the traditional Republican political establishment. His undermining of traditional Republican political establishment fits the idea or concept of malignant narcissism. He's a nut, a moron. I wrote that even. And then I had wrote here, I had entitled this here Trump Personality Disorder. No, this is what somebody else had written. I got this from a Facebook posting as well. But someone else, I guess they think like I do concerning Trump. They have said that seems like every couple of weeks my timeline goes through a phase of many people sharing articles, interviews, or memes that describes Trump's personality and behavior and in diagnostic terms, while a few object that it constitutes ableism. So here's my two cents, this person says. There's that word, ableism. Ableism. I guess it means, well, no, not necessarily ableism, but in a sense, it does have to do with the term enabling. But it's different, I think, in a sense. Minutely different, but basically the same thing. Enableism, ableism. Got to watch these terms, because some words, you know, they don't mean a damn thing at all. They're only out here to confuse somebody. Anyway, this person says, I generally find it irresponsible for licensed pros to engage in diagnosing publicly. But I also have no problem whatsoever with people stating that malignant narcissism and antisocial personality traits render someone unsuitable to leadership. I'm going to continue reading. If that means people with malignant narcissism and antisocial personality traits get thrown under the bus, that is actually okay, in my opinion. People displaying those characteristics are, in fact, dangerous, and especially so in power over tight positions. Further, it seems strange to consider it ableism when our culture so handsomely rewards those very toxic. I believe that reward system should be changed, and that it would be if we prevent ourselves from naming the problem. I'm going to get that right. So let me read that again. This person said, I believe that reward system should be changed, and that it would be if we prevent ourselves from naming the problem. Both the traits and the inappropriate systemic rewards provided for them. Whether or not the labels make the latest DSM or ICD books is irrelevant to that. Excuse me, I got my throat. Interesting. And then here I have a lot of other people making comments from Facebook, but I'm not going to go into all those. I'm just going to move right along. Yeah, basically, I was going to read another one of my comments, but okay. Yeah, I'm going to move right along from that. I'm going through stuff that I have here. Right here, I got something from one of my Facebook friends. Her name is really hard to pronounce. But anyway, her name is really hard to pronounce. But she has said that concerning people talking about Trump and giving him a chance and things of that nature. Imagine that. They talk about give Trump a chance. And when I hear that, my thought is, give him a chance to do what? He's a moron. Give a moron a chance to do what? Be more moronic? To do some real moronic stuff? No, don't give him a chance to do nothing. Get him the hell out of there. That's my thinking. It's like saying give a pyromaniac a chance. In other words, put a book of matches or a cigarette lighter in a pyromaniac's hand, and then somebody say, give him a chance. A chance to do what? Start a fire, blow something up? Get the FOH. Anyway, this person has said that her name is, Kienga Yamahata Taylor. She says, no, we don't owe this monster an open mind, and we certainly don't owe him a chance to lead. We don't owe this monster an open mind, and we certainly don't owe him a chance to lead. Trump deserves revulsion and relentless protest. After a year of calling this man a fascist and a unique evil, they tell us to unite and give him a chance. These politics are completely broken. No one is interested in unifying with this garbage. We have to confront this racism and sexism in the streets and organize like we never have before. That's what she says. Okay. I'm going to move right along. I'm going to go on into the religious issue that I wanted to bring up. Okay. Yes, I'm going to do that. Because time is moving right along. First off, what I have here, I got it from the internet. It's something that had taken place down there in Louisiana, and the article was published 22 February 2017, and the article is entitled "Racist Black History Month Essay Shocks School." And it's in quotes here, wherein the person who wrote this essay, a white person, a white girl, no doubt, she said, all stories in the Bibles are about white people. I mean, in a real sense, to white people, that's not new news. That's just to them obvious. But to people who know, it's known that, in fact, people of the Bible were not Caucasian. People of the Bible weren't born in Europe. unbeknownst to most white people, especially the white racist, let the white racist tell it, Jesus was born somewhere in Europe. I mean, really? Or he born in Europe and he went to Egypt or Palestine? Or maybe Palestine? I'm just being stupid. No. Anyway, this person said, all stories in the Bible are about white people. That's true on one level, but totally false on the real level. Superficially, it's true. Anyway, this article goes on to say that a Catholic high school in Louisiana has apologized to anyone who was offended after a racist essay about Black History Month went viral. The article goes further to say that I guess some radio station, WBRZ, reported that St. Michael, the archangel in Baton Rouge, explained in a letter to parents that an essay making the rounds on the internet was contrary to teachings of the church. I knew a guy when I was in the military from Baton Rouge. Whenever I hear Baton Rouge, I think of him. Anyway, the article goes further to say that, according to WBRZ, the essay was written by a white student who said she was unpleased by the Black History Month assignment. But okay, I'm going to have to stop there because I got to go to a music break. It's now 15 minutes to the hour. And right now we're going to hear a song from Jada. The name is spelled J-A-D-A, Jada, I believe it's Jada. And the song is entitled Feel. And we'll be right back. Thank you.
Rover clean with my bae, make them ill. Malibu, couple G's on the mill. I live the life, make them haters wanna kill. How I feel, how I feel, how I feel. I'm in the Jeep or the London whenever I chill. I be at home in the truck cause I'm not had a deal. I'm selling away all the liquor, I know how it feels. And I could give 2 bucks about a house cause I still got better meal.
Foreign car to the club, how he feel. Magnum bottles and the drugs, how he feel. After party in the hills, how he feel. Exotic girls in the crib, how he feel. How he feel.
Nobody know who you with. Everybody getting bread in my clique. You fuck with us, now your ass gon' get the clip. How I feel, how I feel, how I feel. Most of these niggas is hoes and they bitches is fake. That's why I don't never let nobody in by mistake. I swear they be sweating me hard till I hopped in their minds. Keep asking for my autograph, I said no, get on mine.
Welcome back to Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Jada, or perhaps it's pronounced Jada, entitled Feel. The name is spelled J-A-D-A. And if she's listening, she might want to call in and tell me how to pronounce her name correctly or that I am pronouncing it correctly, either or. So moving right along, I was on this article here about this this girl who had said that she has says here that it says, who said she was unpleased by the Black History Month assignment. The article goes further to say that she says, it's in quotes, "I'm not fully racist, but I hate almost every black person," the essay begins. "They think they run everything, but in reality are an embarrassment to this country." The student goes on to justify slavery based on misconceptions about the Bible. In quotes, she says, "Think about it, though. None of the apostles were different ethnics. They were all white. There was no black nor Hispanic mentioned, really, back when Jesus' time was. All the stories we hear in the Bible are about, like, mainly white people. So since God knows everything that is going to happen, then he would have done something about that." The student explained that she cannot support Dr. King, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s message about equality because black people make her petrified to leave, in quotes, petrified to leave my house. Now, hadn't I said that earlier about white people? But I'm not petrified. I'm just aware of the situation. And, well, what I'm saying is more real than what she's saying because more than likely she don't live around black people. But black people, we live in a white society. I mean, we may live in a black community and or a black area, but to do our day-to-day going hither and thither is out into the larger white community. So there we go. Anyway, she goes on to say, "But we are supposed to give them a month, right, when they cannot even wear pants that fit them, when they shoot cops for protecting people. Sad to say this, but maybe things would be better if they would have stayed slaves. I should not have to be scared for my life when I see them in my sight." And the article goes further to say that in a letter to parents, school officials said they apologized to anyone who was offended by this writing. The idea and the writing of this student, the school is saying this now, the ideas and the writing of this student and their subsequent posting on the web were not within the school's control, the letter stated. We look at this incident as a teachable moment and as an opportunity for education and growth for all involved, particularly through reflection on the wisdom of our Catholic faith. Now, I mean, it didn't say what age this girl was. I didn't see the video. I guess they're saying the video was, it went viral. I didn't see the video. I just read the article. But again, that's typical white thought. I mean, she might be 9, she could be 10, she could be 12, 15, an adolescent, basically, or she could be, well, more so, never mind what she is or could be, but adults actually think like she just wrote. Outrageous. But anyway, going, moving right along with the religious thing. But first, I was just thinking about something that I wanted to have said concerning religion. Yes, I will say it. I probably said it before on the show, but because I'm talking about religion now, I'll say it again. A philosopher and a theologian was having a conversation, and the way this little ditty goes, it says that the theologian said the philosopher. No. The philosopher said the theologian is like a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that is not there. Could be, replied the philosopher, but if he were a theologian, he'd find it. I never forget having read that years ago, and I still remember it. But anyway, this here is something that that Dr. Stacy Patton had written on religion. She says here that had there been no slavery in America or Atlantic slave trade, and if Europeans had never come to West Africa with their Bibles and colonization schemes, it is pretty reasonable to say that the vast majority of today's descendants of those historical processes would not be Christians. We'd be Muslims or worshiping some other deities. The thought of asking ourselves, who were we or what would we be? The possibility of still residing in Africa, or the thought of not having accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, scares the shit out of a lot of folks. This explains why people are writing me angry notes for saying that born in sin is a Western bastardized interpretation of Scripture, and that West Africans were not quoting spare the rod, for the child before the arrival of Europeans in the late 15th century, or even for the first 100 years as enslaved people in America. Once again, black people in America have only been practicing Christianity in significant numbers beginning in the 1820s when the Great Awakening fired up, and there was a broad movement to convert whites and enslaved people. there were a lot of people posting a lot of things about that posting, but I want to go to what I had posted because time is moving swiftly. I had posted that's not what that's something else that I had posted. Let me get what I had posted here. I don't believe I don't have it here, but I must have it here. Okay, let me see if I can find it quickly. I don't see it yet, but surely I have, because I know I had Xeroxed it. I know that. But anyway, someone else has said something that caused me to respond to them. I don't even, I can't even find that particular piece. Oh, well, amazing. Maybe I had misplaced it somewhere further down in my papers. Let's see what I got here. Excuse me for taking up so much time here, but I'm trying to find what I had written here. But anyway, I'll read this out here then. I had gotten this here from a meme. It has said that American Christians have a phrase they use. You can be having a regular lucid conversation with them, and all of a sudden you will hear, "It's God's plan," and that means I'm done talking. But to that, I have responded by saying, not just Christians, all religions, all religious-minded individuals revert back to non-reasoning when reasoning seems not to be enough for understanding. I can't believe I can't find that other piece that I had written here because it was really, really, really appropriate. I probably put it backwards. Because someone has said something, and then because of them having said what they had said, it caused me to write this. I'll go and read that out. I can't believe. Sorry that I misplaced the other paper, but Yes, this person here, she has said that why worship a created God and not the creator God of heaven and earth? That's what she said. And then I have responded to that by saying, yeah, but why worship even that supposed God that created heaven and earth when it's apparently done nothing for any of us? The Honorable Frederick Douglass had to put God on the back burner, so to speak, as he contemplated getting free. I said, LOL, oh well. And then I had written further, not meaning to be contrary, but reading your comment, these words came to mind. Why then, O brawling love, O loving hate, O anything of nothing first create, O heavy lightness, serious vanity, misshaping chaos of well-seeming forms, feather of lead, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, still waking sleep, that is not what it is. This love I feel, that feel no love in this. Then I said, worship is based on love, fear, or what? And then I said, thanks for causing that thought to bubble up in my brain. By the way, well, I won't go there. And then she responded back by saying, my worship is based on love because he, God, loves me first and gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for my sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whomsoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And she said, John 3:16. I replied by saying, Okay, so we're coming up on the final seconds of the show for tonight. But do join us again next week, same time, same place. And I'm going to go out with a song from Terrell Fury entitled Nurse Fantasy. And again, thanks for listening and have a good night till next week.
Making love to you all the time, kissing you, baby. I got a nice way to say, I got a nice way to say. Come on, will you be my fantasy tonight? Let's play your fantasy. I got a nice fantasy.
Is that the reason? I'm feeling sick, I need to see a night nurse. Hot on call, this Jigaverse. Third leg pop up to miss my gator birth. Ain't it vitriol, no fluid hit the earth. Keep it between us, nobody not alert. In a street, I drag me near me in a dirt. In a white dress, your chest pop out on a bird. Splitting inimical thumbs up, hit the word. Take me to me, just check mirrors, feel your boss now. Ask me how me feel, me tell you, say me salsa. Only the money you're needing, your star, you set us down. Check me, mickle, find a study problem, no. Give me lips straight down to my chest. Lift me arms, then it's my cock, you a neck. Kissing while you're undressed down to your breast. Leave your hot shoes, take off the rest.
Making love to you all the time, kissing you, baby. I got a nice fantasy. I got a nice fantasy. Come on, will you be my fantasy tonight? Just play nice fantasy. I got a nice fantasy.
I'm falling and I can't get up with my phone at
house call to make a flex with my girl. At half on the floor, help me up, put me relax. Run water, not eat up for your spun back. Wash me down, grind me just up in a your nurse cap. Same time, me and I rub you with a wash rack. Run shower, stand up, this so we rinse that. Step out the shower, towel dry, we make your in that. Leave me by my stomach for you, give a full massage. Nerve tips, how we mustn't feel hard. Go from neck to leg, girl, you in charge. I feel me make a race and I get lost. Then you turn me over and I start from front. I'm me up and I see me thing jump. And I see me up if we just have be blood. So how about we think you done no sex me one.
Making love to you all the time, kissing you baby. I got enough fantasy, I got enough fantasy. Come on, will you be my fantasy tonight? I got a nurse fantasy. Wide awake the days and nights, thinking about you all the time. I got a nurse fantasy. I got a nurse fantasy. Come on, will you be my fantasy tonight? Tonight, let's play nurse fantasy. I got a nurse fantasy.
Yo, I got a nurse fantasy. Can you be the girl? Shout out to Weezy on the beat, Savage Bunny Trap, Fury again. We not stop, we can't stop till it doesn't even matter.